You either love it or you loathe it. The January transfer window ends tonight. How have the Gunners done? We'll get it all in just a second with Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell coming right up. Welcome to the show, Super Kev.
Boat. How are you, Soph? You're right.
I'm good. How are you? You're looking as dashing as ever.
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. We've had a long day of it, but had to get on the Highbury squad to discuss our beautiful club.
You are an absolute legend. And KC, by the way, I'm wearing this hat. And I know a lot of Arsenal fans didn't like the stripy socks, but I loved that season where we had the stripy red and whites.
I liked it as well.
Yeah.
I like that. Them socks and the kit. So don't worry about the Arsenal fan. They never like anything unless it's in front of them, do they?
Exactly. Good evening to everyone. Hi, Carty. Hi, Drossus. Hi, Amesy. Egyptian Guna. I need you to email me because I want to do a show next Friday, the International Guna Show. And I need you on it. So the highburysquad@gmail.com, Egyptian Guna, send me an email. I wanted to reach out to you this week, and I'm glad you're here tonight. Welcome to the show. Van, hello. Martin, hello. And Amesy, I agree.
Amesy's
not only
back.
A great window, I think it may have been our best window. All right, here's where I want to start, though, Super Kev, before we get into the getting rid of the click, talking about some of the Haaland boys, what's next and all that. From a player point of view, I'd like you to put us in this, take us into that fly on the wall the same way you do with inside the dressing room. As a player, when you're not sure about your status at the club, give us maybe an experience that you may have had in your career, whether you were affected by transfer windows or not. How does it feel? And even with maybe some of your teammates not knowing if they were going or coming, what does it feel like as a player?
Well, I can only really speak about myself. It's happened for me twice. Once was when I was in Turkey, and the other time was when I was at Everton and I joined West Bromwich Albion. It happened so fast because what you've got to do, you do the same routine, you go in, you train, you know, because football is more of a routine type thing where everything is set up, your training times, the way you eat, the way you recover, your gym work, you know, it's back to back. So you know exactly what you're doing. And then obviously you get a call or somebody in the club comes up and tells you there's been a bid from whoever and the club have accepted it. So obviously your routine is out. You go in, you're going to get showered or whatever, and you're going to either you speak to your agent or your representation or whatever. And it's how you're going to get up to speak to them, because you're still going to have to speak. So if you've got one or two clubs, you imagine, you know, you can't probably go to both clubs. You're going to have to speak probably on a Zoom call or whatever now. Speak face-to-face or you speak on the phone to both clubs and see which one you fancy. And then you've got to get moving. You make your mind up, okay, I'm going to go for club A. Then it's a rush there. You're at the training ground. You've got to get back. You've got to pack some stuff. You've got to get your boots. You've got to meet your agent. Your agent's got to come and meet you or whatever and book a flight, or there's travel. Is there going to be paperwork? Do you go to the ground and do part of it there? Is there a bit of a medical that they want to come down? They might have a doctor in the area who you go and see.
So much.
So there's so many things, and you're not even thinking about playing at this stage. You're not even thinking about who's in that team, etc. This is just to get to a point where you can say, okay, I'll commit. Then once you commit, then obviously you start talking and looking at the playing side of it. But it's not easy, Sophie.
No.
It's not easy.
I was going to say that because a lot of the times as fans, we're really selfish, right? We just want deals to get done. And sometimes I think we forget that footballers are also human, because you're talking about moving not only club, but maybe sometimes a
country.
City or country. Culture.
Also, Sophie, what you got to remember is Some of the players have families
mm-hmm.
who go on loan. So all of a sudden, the routine of being home, doing your bit with the kids, etc., all of a sudden the loan comes and you're rushing around and your partner has to cover all that now because you're on the move.
Yep.
And it's permanent. So you got to work all that when she can come with the children or the kid. Or it's all to be worked out after. So you need people around you who one, are smart, two, who are flexible, and three, and probably most important, love you. So
yeah, because they may not want to move, but they love you so much, they're willing to make that move.
Exactly. They've got to love you, darling. I'm telling you, they've got to love you.
Totally. A special shout out, KC, tonight to Ojok Julius. Good morning, Sophie and Super Kev. It's already 12:32 a.m. here, and I do enjoy your show, though most of the time I watch the replays due to the time difference. He's watching from Uganda.
Ojok Julius, boom! Love it. Brilliant. Glad to hear you're joining us.
Absolutely. And absolutely, James. Shout out to Olok, who's staying up late in Uganda. And once again, we've got everyone listening from all corners of the earth. Thank you for joining us. All right, KC, let's get to the business at hand. I'm going to put something up that I'm not sure you're going to enjoy seeing, but I'm going to do it anyway. Ding dong.
Am I going to turn away?
Well, luckily, the picture will be on, so no one will be able to see you turn away. But yeah. I'm titling this one, Ding Dong, the click has gone. Look at these.
Look at these. Oh, jeez. But do you know what, Sophie? I think, you know, these pictures are going to be quite iconic. I tell you, these are going to be quite iconic. And I tell you why this is going to be quite iconic. Look at the way Martinez is looking at them in the background. No. A lot of people wouldn't. That's the first thing I saw when you open it up. Look, he's looking at them like, look at these three absolute spanners. Do you know what I mean?
I've got another one. Do you want to see this one?
Oh, go on. Stick it on. Go on. Well, that's where they all ended up, wasn't it? On the scrap heap, on the couch. Play Fortnite or whatever. Look, I don't mean to be mean, and this is a snapshot of a time past, mm-hmm. Sophie. We had to move on from these guys. It's very important we moved on from them three guys, and we did. And Socrates weren't quite in that clique, but, you know, there had to be business done. He went, but those three seem to have a little hold on that dressing room. Mm-hmm. And they were very, obviously Mesut Ozil is very influential. He's very powerful. And, you know, all these managers can't be wrong, Sophie. Three mm-hmm. managers cannot be wrong. You've got Unai Emery, Freddie, and Freddie was only in it 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And he dropped him.
Yeah.
And Arteta played him to start with and then dropped him like a cheap suit. Dropped him.
Mr. Buy-Right suit.
Yeah. Mr. Buy-Right, you know, the buttons are coming off and the zips bust. I know that you just got to drop it. It's no point even trying. So that's what happened. And, you know, because of his power and the team didn't do so well, people were questioning Arteta and, oh, should we get him back? How is it? Are we paying him so much money and he's not involved? But this is what happens at football clubs. Times come to an end. Sophie, you know, your time at a football club does come to an end. Mm-hmm. And the likes of Arteta came in, saw what was going on, and he thought, the culture? No. I rather the culture over you, who is the highest paid player. And that's what he done.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, here's the scoop. Anyone complaining about anything today, go check yourself in the mirror. We've been waiting for this moment, haven't we, Kevin, to get rid of these players that had apathy, that we felt really weren't playing for the badge. And rightly so, like you said, we're kind of maybe not controlling the dressing room, but having an influence on the dressing room and a lot of negativity, which some people also say rubbed off on players like Maitland-Niles, which is maybe why he and Arteta aren't in good stead. And again, there's two sides to every story, and then there's the truth. We can only talk about, you know, things that we hear sometimes. But this window, for me, is the greatest window in Arsenal history. And I think a lot of the times we look at transfer windows and we say, you know, January, you saw Virgil van Dijk go to Liverpool. We saw Bruno Fernandes go to United. We saw Aubameyang come to us. Sometimes it's not about who's coming in. It's about who's leaving. And what this says today is the statement every Arsenal fan has dreamed of and wanted. We are moving into a new era and a new time.
Not every.
Well, then they don't care, do they, Casey?
No, but I think you can't say that, Sophie, because some people still believe Mesut Ozil should be at Arsenal. Some people still believe that. And look, we always say, we might not agree on the opinions, but we got to respect people's opinions. Mm. Okay? Now, we spoke about the culture and where Mikel Arteta wants to take this club. He does. He wants to take this club in a new direction. And he found resistance, Sophie, didn't he? He found resistance in those three.
Mm-hmm. He did. He really did. A real shout out real quick to the real Giannis. I think that's a nod to my favorite basketball player right now, Giannis from the Memphis Grizzlies. Yeah. Well done, Casey. You're good with your pronunciations.
Milwaukee Bucks, by the way.
The Grizzlies, Milwaukee Bucks. See, you know what I love about him? I get too caught up in the Greek thing because he stays to meet Greek fans after most games and sings the national anthem with them. He's unbelievable. Absolutely brilliant. And he's a Turkish Arsenal fan. And he says, love you, my guy, our legend, King Kev. So
nice one.
I had to put that up there.
The real Giannis, love it.
The real Giannis, yeah.
The real Giannis.
So the truth is, Kevin, all of these players were given a chance at Arsenal. And you could argue, in terms of the Premier League, maybe there were three or four great moments. Mustafi's greatest moment in an Arsenal shirt was the header in the rain in the North London Derby. Do we agree on that?
Agreed.
It was almost worth the 35 million just...
Well, listen, I wouldn't quite say it's worth that much, but it was a big moment for us. Yeah,
it was a big moment for us and for him. And Kolasinac was one of those players where, again, in the North London Derby, where he grabs the flag and, you know, he shows that passion, but it was few and far between. They only showed that in certain games. And you can't argue with the fact that they're moving on, but they were not put in a position where they didn't have the opportunity to prove themselves because they were chosen week in, week out by Arsene Wenger. Unai Emery kept faith with most of them. And now here we are in a position where we can truly turn the page and hopefully never look back.
I think what the important part, Sophie, is look.
Sorry.
Whatever you wanna say about these players, they've played for Arsenal, right? And Mesut Ozil obviously was very influential in his play. He had better moments than the other two. Let's put it that way, didn't he? He was superb at times. The times him and Sanchez were linking together with Santi were great times. But I've mentioned this before about being a great. He could have been a great if he'd have got to that title. Mm. You know, that could have been a great moment for the football club. Didn't quite get there. And I think these three will epitomize the last part of Arsene Wenger and the difficult years.
Yeah, I'm going to get to the other couple that are left, the other three that are significant, but I want to save that for a little bit.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Soph, that these three are going to be that standard bearer. They're like the snapshot of...
Yes.
Because we had to pay Ozil to leave. We couldn't get anything for Kolasinac, so we had to go on loan, and he's running out his contract. And then we have to pay up Mustafi. This is just shows you what we were thinking about down the road, getting these players in, and they're still costing the club money and we can't even get anything for them, Sophie.
Exactly. And James brings up a good point here, Super Kev. Nearly 700,000 freed up in wages with them three. And I'm going to get to Sokratis because I don't think he's part of the clique as much as the others. Arteta and Edu and Vinay need to have a massive summer now. Biggest chance to rip it up and start again. Got to capitalize on this now, Kevin. You know, you're getting rid of all this stuff step by step.
Whoa, the summer's going to be big, but one step at a time. Cool the jets. Because you saved that in wages.
Doesn't mean you got it to spend.
Doesn't mean you got big money to spend. You've got it in wages, which is great. That means you could recruit people. But if you've got big transfer fees to pay, it ain't going to work. So they're going to have to box clever.
Yeah.
And this is why.
And of course, we did this too. So we inherited another bad contract maybe. But step by step, you guys, maybe it's their first or only mistake. But go on, Casey.
For me, what we've got to do, And probably why a lot of people wanted an experienced manager in after Emery.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted Allegri. Many people wanted Allegri. Many people wanted experienced manager. But the issue is the football club does not have the money to go and say to the new manager, here's 250 million.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another 100 million. They don't have the money to do that. So the new manager who comes in has to work. He's got young players there. He has to work with the culture. He's got to plan it out a lot better than it was done. It has been done. He's got to find young players. He's got to try and build something. And Arteta was the one who they agreed on. That's why he would have been under massive pressure earlier on this season, Sophie.
Yeah. Yeah,
but the hierarchy stood still. They were right behind him because they know if we sack him, we are in shit street. Basically.
Well, winning the FA Cup helped, didn't it? Really, it gave him.
Of course
it does. Yeah, and Danny, look at this, you guys. When you look at the numbers between Ozil, Mustafi, Pappy, and Kola, they played 587 games for Arsenal. That buys a lot of influence. It does.
Yeah.
Let's not be in denial about that and the impact that they had in the dressing room as well. So what do you think about the deals, Kev, that we've done to get? Ozil obviously is gone. Sokratis has gone to Olympiacos. He goes home. I think Sokratis is sidelined a little bit because of the way he handled himself during being dropped, not being put in the squad for either Premier or Europa League, stayed silent, handled it pretty well. It seems like Sokratis goes with the blessing of a lot of Arsenal fans.
Yeah, was a consummate pro. Behind the scenes, still was there, even when he wasn't involved. He was still, you know, trained well, spoke well to his teammates, etc. So sometimes, you know, sometimes it doesn't always work out for you, but you still have to be that guy. You still have to be that pro. You're an experienced player, and you still got to show some of these youngsters, even though I'm not involved.
Mm-hmm.
I'm straight down the line. I still come in on time. I still do my gym work. You know, I still could put you boys to shame because I'm dedicated. That's the key.
Exactly. What do you think of the Kolasinac Mustafi deals, Kevin?
I think Kolasinac needed to get out and play football because I don't think he had enough quality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were times where he done great, but he got into so many good positions down that left-hand side. But I think his delivery, his quality wasn't quite up to standard, Sophie. Mm-hmm. So that's what stands out because people start to recognize you're getting in these positions. You're not picking anybody out and stuff like that. So.
Right. So are you happy with the structure of the deal? Sorry. So, for example, Sokratis and Mustafi, I think Mustafi's a six-month loan to Schalke. Kolasinac, the same. They're not sold. They're on loans, right?
It's not even a view because their contract's up at the end.
So, but we cancelled Mustafi's contract. So technically, is he done?
Yeah, done. Okay. And once you cancel, so you come to an agreement on the money.
Mm-hmm.
So you say to him, right, you've got 6 months left. We'll offer you this to go. And he'll say either yay or nay. The fact of the matter is it got done pretty quick. And he said, yeah, all right. Obviously, he's got another club to go to. So it's a kind of, it's a win-win for him. Mm-hmm. But that's great because for us, it's getting him out of the building. That's what we wanted. We wanted him out of the building, at the football club. Kolasinac is probably, is a bit different. That would probably be a straight loan. But obviously, we've done our money on Mustafi, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've done big money on him.
Look, here it is, guys. This is the day you've all been waiting for. The click is gone. Kolasinac, Mustafi, Mesut Ozil, one transfer window, and the three stooges are done. Listen, I don't want to be disrespectful because each of them have gotten to this level of football for a reason, but at Arsenal, it became toxic. Ozil, we all fell in love with, but at the end of the day, he too became toxic. And whether you believe whatever you want to believe in or not, in terms of why and how it ended for Mesut Ozil, the truth is his football suffered after the World Cup, where, let's be honest, he was made a scapegoat for Germany. And I don't think he ever recovered from that, Kevin. And then Sokratis, also gone, goes back to Greece, plays for Olympiakos. You never know. We may meet him in the Champions League or the Europa League one day. But the players you wanted gone are out. So, Kevin, Edu and Arteta marks out a 10 for this particular group of players and getting them all out in the January transfer window.
It's a 10 out of 10. I'm telling you, that is a 10 out of 10. How they've worked it, how they've done it, I'm telling you, Sophie, I don't know. But I give them full marks and full credit because it would have been easy to have these players just sitting around earning their money and not playing. Mm-hmm. But you see, for that culture, we've got to get them away. We've got to get them away from what we're trying to do. Because when you have that smell around, when you're trying to do something good, Sophie, and there's a bad stench, it can never work until you get it out. So they've cut it out. It's gone now. And you could breathe and you could get on.
Love it. And John, we're going to get to this at the very end of the show. So hold that thought because it is a really, really important one. Okay. That's it. They're gone. Now, we may bring them up because we may talk about history as we go for the rest of the season. But I've learned I only ever use the rearview mirror to check my lipstick. That is my own personal saying. Don't look back. Let's look forward because we have got what we've dreamed of for so long now. Okay, Kevin, I want to move on to some of the younger players, some that we love, some that we know that we've wanted to work. Some have and some haven't. The biggest one for me, and I want to start with this one, is this fella. Now, I think that, again, he split Arsenal fans right down the middle in terms of his performance, whether he deserves to be in the team or not. And, you know, we saw him have a resurgent season when Project Restart happened. And, you know, he has been that hybrid player, like I've said to you. Phil Neville, Manchester United, can come in, play in any position when we have injuries. With the rest of the season to go, we're still in Europa League. We're trying to push up the Premier League. Do you agree or disagree with me? And I think that I understand Maitland-Niles wanting to go to try and secure an England place for the Euros as well. I understand that him wanting to go and play in his natural midfield position. But from Arsenal's point of view, I love that they've supported him in what he wants to do. But if there's another injury to Cedric or Bellerin or Tierney, God forbid, and I touch wood there like a Greek person, have we cut our nose off to spite our face on this particular loan deal? Talk me through that one.
No, I don't think we have. I think, obviously, what's gone in the background with Arteta and Maitland-Niles, he's been questioned about his application for me. Maitland-Niles, there's a lot of people... A lot of people talk about Maitland-Niles, you know, he's this player, he's that player. He came in at the back end of last season and done really well. He didn't play a full season, didn't play half a season, Sophie. He came in at the back end and done really well. He never even started this season. So, again, it's not Maitland-Niles is being mismanaged. As Mikel Arteta said, the way you train is going to be important, and that is all part of the culture, Sophie. So he cannot afford, if somebody's going to be slacking in training, he cannot afford to have him around. He can't.
I understand that, and I think that's the part where I forget, if I'm going to be honest. I keep thinking about what's happening, what I see on the pitch and what he's done to step in for some of these players, Kevin, when they've been injured, and the fact that he is the most versatile player on the team other than Saka maybe. And I think the biggest thing for me is like, you know, God forbid if Tierney carries on and having these injuries, or if Cedric gets injured and Bellerin, especially on that left position, though, I don't want Saka having to deputise as left back, because we need Saka in that forward line. So there are tons of our listeners, and thank you to everyone who's joining us. It's the Highbury Squad Lockdown Series, Volume 2, Episode 18. This is the Transfer Deadline Show with Mr. Super Kevin Campbell. 330 plus strong of you listening to us now. Stick with us. It's going to be a good show. Kevin,
Sophie,
what do you say to that?
Here's my point that I'm going to unhinge you with. You don't want Saka playing in the left back.
No.
But if we play three centre halves, he's playing on the wide left as a wing back.
Is that the 4-3-3 that Arteta wants?
No, that's three.
That's a three.
That's a 3-4-3.
Okay.
So Saka is up here. He's not back there. Do you understand what I mean? He's not starting
going more
from...
forward, and he doesn't have as much defensive responsibility.
Exactly. And that's where you're like the likes of Pablo Mari or Gabriel can move across into that left back kind of spot-ish as a centre half. Keep him up the pitch. We want him doing his work up there, not as a fullback. So he's got 80 yards every time to run. And that's why I think Mikel Arteta has probably looked at it and said, you know what? This is something that I think I could get. I think I could get away with this.
Why do you think he can? Because of who then plays in that three? So you've got, is it Pepe, Laka? Is it Martinelli? Is it how? Explain that to me. Then,
well, remember, it could be Aubameyang, Lacazette, and Smith Rowe. It could be Pepe, Lacazette, and Odegaard. It could be Odegaard, Aubameyang, and Smith Rowe. It could be Martinelli, Aubameyang, and Odegaard. There's so many different permutations that you could utilize up the top end of the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
That if you can, for us, it's a matter of, can we get all our best players on the pitch? Mm-hmm. Because if we could get all our best players on the pitch, the defense has got big problems because they have to account for everybody, Sophie. And if Saka's coming from deep, then he's a problem.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, because I think a little of what we haven't had in recent years, and we've had some players, he can dribble and he's good. We haven't had many players, have we, Kevin, over the last few seasons that have that talent to dribble with the ball, but also have the confidence to dribble and take that on. Yeah. And that's why I think people love watching Jack Grealish play. Because he has that fearlessness where he has the ball, takes on the ball. Maybe he doesn't pass when he should at certain times, but I think Saka has that quality, you're right, where he can bring it from the back. Like Tierney. Well, this is why Tierney's so important in the team,
right,
isn't he?
That's right. And even here's the other thing, Sophie. Even Tierney could play the left centre half, and Saka could play on the left. You know, because and they could dovetail nicely, because you know what? At times, Tierney can go, because you've got two other centre-halves there.
They become inverted as well, don't they?
Yeah, you know, Tierney could go from the interior. It doesn't have to be wide. He can go inside. So it's like an underlap. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, the flexibility is there if Arteta needs it.
Okay. All right, cool. Another young player, 4-2-3-1. Yeah, I like 4-2-3-1. Do you remember that old show? 3-2-1. Dustbin. Yeah, Ted Rogers. Saturday Night TV, Casey. That was the best. Once again, thanks to everyone who's joining us in chat. So many of you. We really super appreciate it. Kleb was probably one of the last ones. He really was good at dribbling the ball. He was very talented. He made a mistake going to Barcelona. Let that be a warning.
He was good, but Sanchez was the dribbler.
Yeah, Sanchez was on a different level.
And,
yeah,
and Santi could dribble as well when he's allowed.
When he's allowed. People weren't kicking him, especially. All right. So another player that has been polarizing, Kev, and you know he, I think Arsenal fans lost their patience with him, and that's Willock. I think this is of all the players. I'm a bit sad that Maitland-Niles is going out on loan for all the reasons I've stated. But Joe Willock, I think this is a phenomenal move for him because you know why? This may sound harsh. I think this is level. Playing for a team like Newcastle is more his level. I don't think we're going to win the league or be competitive with the Joe Willock in midfield. Is that harsh?
No, it's right now because we're talking about now, remember. I think you're right with what you say. I think Joe Willock, I've said it before and you know I've said it, Sophie. These young players, and he's 21 now, these younger players need football. They need football because just coming off the... Fair enough, you're at Arsenal. You've been at Arsenal since you've been a boy. But you know what? Nothing beats playing. And he has some attributes, Sophie, that is different to a lot of other midfielders. He's good. He's good at running with the ball. He's good at picking runs out. He runs beyond the forwards. Which is, I'm telling you, if he could perfect it, he would become an effective footballer and he could play at any level. I'm telling you this. But he's got to play. Now, at Arsenal, he's playing 1 minute. He's not in. He plays in the Europa against probably weaker opposition and he looks okay. And then when you get him in the Premier League, it's a lot more difficult because the players are better. The players don't just let you go. They track you. You know, it's a lot harder. So for me, the fact is he's gonna get minutes under his belt at Newcastle. He could add another dimension to what they do because he would run past Callum Wilson.
Yeah.
And I tell you, that makes a massive difference.
Yeah. We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a very important message from Victor Baeza. Sophie, show this message. North London is red. There you go. Well done, Victor. We love that. He needs game time.
Oi! Game time, for God's sake. Is it that time already? Oh, it's after the watershed. You're right.
Jesus. Talk about miss a very important letter in the statement. Arsenal also just confirmed that Mustafi has gone. Ding dong. He has gone. But yeah, some people think he holds on the ball too much. You know, again.
That comes with playing under 23 football. You know, when you're in the first team, he will get called out for that more often than not. And that's why sometimes it doesn't work. Everything's got to be quick, sharp. But if you're not used to playing that regular, it's difficult for you to pick it up,
I don't know. We'll find this out in the coming days. All we know is this deal, but whether or not it's a clause to buy after or whatever, I think we'd all agree that if you've been an Arsenal player, especially a young player coming through the ranks, everyone wishes Joe Willock well. You know, we may not think that he's right for the Arsenal or that he's shown enough, but if he goes off and he has an incredible time at Newcastle, comes back, becomes part of the squad again, fantastic. But we wish him and Maitland-Niles all the very best because if they succeed, you know, they're part of the Arsenal history, whichever way you look at it. And so we wish them well. And to be honest with you, I wish Sokratis well, Ozil well, Mustafi well, Kolasinac well, all of them well at different times.
Any bad feeling yet.
Exactly. Eddie Steyn, Drake. I don't think there's any news on Eddie. No movement on Eddie, right, Kevin?
Eddie's staying.
And the other one that everyone's asking about is Balogun, because there's been no move on that, and everyone thought that
there's going to be no move on that.
There's going to be no move on that till the summer, right, Super Kev?
And by the way, if he leaves, which probably looks like he will, then it's cross-border. So Arsenal will get little. They'll probably get 400 exactly. grand, 500 grand.
JS, Reece Nelson too. There's no news on Reece for today. There's been no rumblings. I've heard nothing. Casey, there's been no report on Reece leaving. Of course, there is still a good hour to go in the transfer window. And so, you know, that could change. But would he benefit?
100%. Look, again, Reece Nelson isn't playing first team football regularly. Now, how do we expect? Look, and I know the fan base is difficult sometimes, but when a young player who hasn't played five games back to back, so if you think about it, he hasn't played five games back to back for Arsenal first team. When he gets put in, we're expecting him to just turn it on. It doesn't work that way.
It's a brilliant point, Kevin.
It doesn't work. So for me, he needs to get out on loan. I mean, he should be knocking the manager's door down and be saying, Gaffer, I want to go out on loan. Because once he goes on loan and he plays games, I know he went to Germany last year and he was doing okay, and then he kind of fell away at the end or whatever. He needs to be playing games in England, and it may be Championship, and he needs to be playing week in, week out. He needs to go through the tough time where, Sophie, you've got bumps and bruises, and this is after the game on the Saturday, and you've got a game on the Tuesday, and you've got to get yourself right, because and then you play on the Tuesday, and then you've got to prepare for the game on the Saturday. The way it's going, he's in 1 minute. You don't see him for 4 weeks. He can't get no continuity. You can't develop him that way.
Yeah. You're listening to the Highbury Squad. This is our Transfer Deadline Day show. It's Lockdown Series Volume 2, Episode 18. This show is brought to you by footballprizes.co.uk. From merchandise and memorabilia, it's up for grabs now, you people. You can go over to footballprizes.co.uk, put your hat in the ring, and you could find yourself winning some fantastic Arsenal memorabilia. We're going to be giving a ticket away this week on this show to win a signed shirt from the 1971 double winning team. KC does not get much better than those legends. And it's the 50th anniversary as well of the 1971 team as well. And the Highbury squad's going to be bringing you a lot of good stuff in May. When it gets to that as well. So thanks to Bill and all our friends at footballprizes.co.uk for that. Kevin, here's what we're going to get. Okay, chat, are you ready for this? Everyone in chat, thanks for joining us again. Here's where we go from here, because this all trickles down, right? So we've done the click. We've talked about Sokratis. We've mentioned Willock, Maitland-Niles. We don't want to talk too much to Reece and Balogun and those players, guys, because we just don't know what's happening yet. Although we would love for them to stay at the club, especially for me, Balogun, I would love for him to stay at the club and be given a chance. But another one that maybe needs to adopt a better attitude from what, you know, we're seeing. You don't post a picture of your fantastic goal the night of your team. Was it winning or losing? I can't remember, but that probably wasn't the best move to endear himself to Arteta, Kevin. So this trickles down. The Wengerites that are left, we've got Bellerin, Xhaka and Elneny, who are probably the ones who are left who are the most influential. There's a reason why Xhaka keeps surviving, because some people say he's part of that Ozil, Mustafi, Kolasinac clique. But from what I saw personally in Los Angeles, he actually isn't. He's just the kind of player that supports all of his teammates. In the summer, to arc the circle of the new Arsenal, of those three, are you selling all of them? Are you keeping any of them? What's your take?
I think Elneny is not a problem to anybody. He'll always come in and do a little job for you if you need him. But we need upgrade on that. So probably Elneny will go. I just think We've seen Xhaka play some good games lately as well. We've seen Xhaka play some decent games. So I don't think Xhaka will be the number one, Sophie. But I think you, as a squad, you need a lot of quality players. And I think because Xhaka's a lefty as well, obviously knows the football club, he might be one who survives probably most. He's the last one to probably to go, if that makes any sense.
That makes total sense to me.
And who was the third one?
Bellerin.
Sorry. Bellerin. I think he's got 2 years left on his contract, hasn't he? Mm-hmm. Perfect time to sell. It's perfect time to sell him if you want to sell him and you want to upgrade. So I think Xhaka survives before Bellerin does.
I would agree. I would agree with that. And that's the general consensus. I don't think fans have been enamored with Bellerin this season. I think that he's had, you know, more ups than downs in games. You know, there's been interest from Paris Saint-Germain. There's been interest from Barcelona as well. And mostly people agree with you, Elneny and Bellerin to go. I think, Casey, is that because we've seen Xhaka's game elevated with Thomas Partey coming in? And for now, you know, you could still get 25 million for Bellerin maybe in the market in the summer if you're getting rid of him. Would you agree? And Elneny's going to be one of those maybe six, seven. I'm not too hot on his contract. You guys can help me if he's out of contract. I don't think he is.
No.
But we could get maybe a 7-8 million euros for him at best.
Yeah, look, the ruthless streak, every little helps. And, you know, you've got to upgrade these guys. Bellerin has been a good servant, Sophie. But the fact of the matter is there are better right backs out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line. And if Arteta wants to do what he's going to do, we need people who can defend and attack. And unfortunately, I think Bellerin is probably better going forward than his defender, but we don't see enough of it going forward anymore for whatever reason. So I think we could upgrade that position. Elneny, even as a squad player, we can upgrade to get a better player in. And obviously, if they look to get another midfielder in, Xhaka's a good enough squad player, because we know Xhaka can play. We could have injuries, etc. Xhaka can play. He can start. We know he can. We're not saying he's the greatest. Not at all.
Don't mistake us.
I'm not saying he's the greatest player or whatever, because I think he's a good squad player who can fill in. And I think that's what if Arsenal are going to be pushing on to try and challenge, Granit Xhaka's a squad player.
Yeah, I agree with that. And a lot of people in chat talking about your boy Bissouma and Hakimi. We talked about him on the show the other day when we were doing the Odegaard show, talking about young players maybe not getting the chance they deserve in Spain at Real Madrid and stuff like that. But, you know, Casey, I really truly believe, you know, the ruthlessness that we've shown, I think it's not ruthlessness, it's common sense, wouldn't you agree, in this transfer window?
Yeah, but the problem is, Soph, the common sense hasn't been there for over a decade.
Years, right.
So is it common sense? No, it's a manager who comes in who knows his vision and he wants to build a culture.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've had more experienced managers than him who never pulled the trigger.
Yeah. Ryan, I like Max Aarons. Norwich are probably going to want 50 million for him, just like they did with Buendia. Let me give you guys a name. Don't forget this name. Julian Araujo. And people are going to call me crazy, but I'm telling you right now, there have been a lot of players. If you go look at some European players right now in Europe, young players doing well in Europe. Obviously, I cover the US men's and women's national team here, and I cover LA Galaxy and LAFC. Araujo is a right back. And even Zlatan thought he and Pavon were like top-notch players. I understand Spurs are interested in maybe signing Araujo. He's the type of player, you get him now, Kev, he could be your right back for 10 years. He's so fast. He's adaptable. He can play right midfield as well as that traditional position. Super talented. And you look at some of these players that come over, Alphonso Davies. You look at McKinney, who's playing now with Ronaldo at Juventus. You look at Reina at Borussia Dortmund. You're looking at Dest. Oh, he's the one I wanted.
Barcelona. He's brilliant.
Barcelona. Such a good player. That's the kind of player we need to go get. We don't have to spend 30, 40 million, Kevin. We just have to find another Martinelli deal, right?
Yeah, you're right. But you again, here's the thing, Sophie. We have to trust in the manager and Edu that they are going to get it done right. We've got to trust in them because they've done this window. They've got out who they've got. We talked about in the summer, the hardest part of the summer, the best part will be to get the players out. It's taken us two windows now to get them out. So we have to trust that they're going to really do the right thing and bring in the correct players. We need energy. We need quality. And we need a toughness.
And what do you think, like, in terms of, because one of the things, obviously, we kind of cleaned the slate with some of our scouting team, didn't we, Kevin? And you could argue that they've had hits and misses over the years, let's be fair, you know, maybe found some gems, but mostly the younger players that have come through have either come through the academy or, you know, like a Martinelli. That's a perfect example of maybe Edu having that influence. Edu was part of that deal, wasn't he?
Yes.
And knowing those types of players, are you confident that we can still scout that type of talent based on the changes that we've made at that level, Kevin?
Without a shadow of a doubt. Without a shadow of a doubt, I'm confident that Mikel Arteta and Edu know who they want. I'm confident in that. The key to everything was to make room for the wages. That was the key. Make room for that wages. Because come the summer, they're going to have to move and shake. They're going to have to. And I know it might not be the big signings that everybody's looking for, Sophie, but you made a good point. You know, we can get quality players and we don't have to spend astronomical money. We don't. But it's just the way they go about it and acquire these young players. That's the key.
Okay. Thanks to your, thanks to everyone, 440 plus now in live chat, joining myself and Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell.
They probably think they're going to hear something. They think they're going to hear something. We're going to announce
breaking news.
A signing. Yeah, breaking news.
We just signed Messi. Yay.
Not on that money. We can't afford it.
Oh, yeah, we'd all like Lamptey, definitely. And, you know, Kevin's talked about Bissouma a lot too. But thank you to the 440-plus strong crowd in live chat right now. If you dig us and you enjoy what you're hearing, hit that like button. We would adore that. And if
appreciate
you don't like
that,
us, you know, we'll still stay friends and you can keep listening anyway. We don't have super chats in our show. We don't ask you to give us any money to ask us questions. We try and put as many of your comments and questions up on screen. And we love that we can connect you. No other show tonight is giving you the player perspective. And we have Super Kevin Campbell here, who's worn the shirt, kissed the badge and done it all for the Arsenal and plenty other clubs as well. Kevin, with that said, so we've gone through all of those different elements, got rid of the cliques. We talked about the younger players. We talked about the Wengerites who are left and who you keep or sell. How do you feel now with all these changes we've made and after this January transfer window? We're looking into your football, your crystal football. What does this mean for us going forward for this season? We don't know about next season, but for this season, what are your thoughts?
Well, we're in a better position already to start with from now. From now and tomorrow, Arsenal Football Club, we wake up as a better football club. Why? Because the dead wood or the deadly wood is out.
Mm-hmm.
And now Mikel Arteta can breathe and he can work with what's in that dressing room to get us up that table. We've got some important games coming up, Sophie. We've got some really important games coming up. Now let's see what this squad can do, because some of these Some of these players are going to have to grow, Sophie. Some of these young
talk about that a little bit.
They're going to have to grow because look at the free players who have walked out. These are free, experienced players. 587 games that to combine they play for Arsenal. They're very experienced players. These are top guys. But now that they're gone, their lockers are empty, Sophie. There's no aura. You go in and Mesut Ozil's over there. Well, you know, no, that's all gone. Mustafi's gone. Kolasinac is gone. Socrates is gone. Mm-hmm. Now some of the younger players are going to have to step up because now the onus is on them to lead a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
This is important. The leadership in that dressing room must be taken on. We know Lacazette does great with the youngsters. We know Aubameyang is the captain. He's probably vocal in his own way in the dressing room, etc. But he's not vocal on the pitch. We know David Luiz has definitely got he's a captain who's got a big personality, etc. I think Rob Holding and Pablo Mari do their thing as well in the background. But now we're going to need some of the other players to step up, to be those guys. And it's important in the growth of our football club, Sophie. I cannot stress this enough. It is so important that these guys take the mantle.
Mm-hmm. You know, it feels like Saka and ESR are unafraid of responsibility. But I want you to kind of help differentiate the difference between being and not worrying about playing football and being fearless and having the ability to take on responsibility, but then that responsibility being put on your shoulders. There's a difference, isn't there, Kev?
Yeah, there's a huge difference. When you're a young player, everybody tries to take the pressure away from you so you can just play.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to put the pressure on you of results. Although it's a results business, performance, just go out there and play. Do your thing. We know how good you are. Da-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da, which is great. But as you start to get more experienced, you start to really take the onus of the performance on your shoulders, Sophie. Yeah. So when the team doesn't play well, you take it upon yourself. I'm one of the reasons why we're not playing well. And then you start thinking of, could I do more for him? Could I do more for him? Could I do more for him? And you have to carry it. And sometimes it's difficult to carry it when there ain't enough leaders. But this is where the culture comes in. This is so important where, and I don't want to keep going back on it, but Arsenal fans, we've been so spoiled with leaders and players that take the responsibility of the performance across that white line, Sophie. It's so important moving forward. And that is where the culture is formed.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to put this one up for you real quick. We've got Kevin here for just a few more minutes. We'll be back again tomorrow night. And before we get out tonight, we will just give a very quick snapshot of Wolves, but we're going to be back post-game after Wolves as well, you guys. This is true. He's had to deal with egos and cliches off the pitch, which dampens the atmosphere. But there was someone. Oh, Sam, this is the one. After these players have left, Arteta has no excuse. You agree or disagree with that one, Kevin?
I don't understand what it means about no excuse.
For example, I'll follow it on with what Nathan is saying. If Arteta doesn't get top four or win Europa League, has he failed? I think that's where fans are coming from.
No, of course he hasn't. Of course he hasn't. Of course. It's still not Arteta's team. Mm-hmm. It's still not. The manager is been there just over a year now. Look what he's had to... He's won a trophy and look what he's had to contend with in the dressing room. Everybody knew from the summer we needed these Deadwood out. Getting the Deadwood out just does not...
Change your fortune.
It just doesn't change your fortunes. Mm-hmm. But what has got to happen is within the club, on the inside, the culture has to change for the better. And whoever then starts to get brought into the football club is helps to build the culture. Mm-hmm. Because we've been flat for a long time.
We have.
We need it built up.
And hey, good evening, Sonny. Thanks for joining
Sonny,
us,
hey,
Stu.
Man, top man.
So he makes a good point. Culture will never change until Kroenke steps up. I think it's fair to say he has. I criticized him on Twitter because the Rams made this mega transfer for quarterbacks. He's putting the chicken sink behind winning the Super Bowl next season, Kevin. But what Sonny says here,
he's a quarterback away, though, isn't he?
He's one quarterback away. Although Jared Goff, he beat Russell Wilson and he beat Drew Brees in a playoff. So I think he's being unfairly treated a little bit.
That's
okay.
The defense. Yeah.
But Sonny brings up. You watch it all. Casey and I talk a lot about NFL and NBA guys during the week and stuff like that. Fan culture is equally important. You can't really change fans, but if you change your own culture within, the fan attitude changes. And sometimes you just can't change bad, can you, really?
Well, I tell you what changes the fan culture.
Winning.
A winning Arsenal.
Mm.
And not just a winning Arsenal. An Arsenal that the fan base can trust. That changes the fan culture. Because don't forget, Sophie, a lot of the fans, when the team had the Invincibles and were doing doubles and winning titles, etc., there was never this division. Never.
Mm-hmm. No.
But because we're scrambling to try and claw it back, it's difficult to get it back. That's why Arteta knows. He's come from a culture where it's that way or you're not part of it. And I know, Sophie, you've said to me before, times have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Times have changed. But you know what is always the constant in football? If you don't have the right culture and you don't have the right attitude, you will not win. That's...
You tell me that all the time. And it's so true. You know, winning changes. Look how happy everyone was after the FA Cup. They were right behind Arteta. Every fan believed in him. We thought, you know what? First final, not even a full season. Beat City, beats mm-hmm. Chelsea again. Repeats what we did in 2017. Rob Holding has another amazing. I mean, all of these things that just fell into place. Aubameyang captain.
Tick, 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 tick. Yeah.
Winning changes everything. If we win Europa League, right, and it's a big if because it's not easy to win a trophy, let alone a European trophy, and there are some good teams left in this Europa League this season. This is probably the toughest one in the last 4 or 5 years, in my opinion, some of the teams in it. But if he ends up doing that, for me, I'll eat that humble pie. Not because I wanted Arteta out. I wanted him to make these changes, as you know, Kevin, and he's doing that. But if he ends up doing that, that's mega, right? Winning a European trophy. It's not going to be easy. So, and the Manchester United model, you guys, is very interesting to look at, Kevin, because this time last season, they're in a similar position to us. Everyone wanted Ole Gunnar Solskjaer sacked. People down his throat. Now they found a way to climb to third somehow and qualified for Champions League football last season. Now they're challenging for the Premier League title. Don't think they're going to win it and they may fall. But patience does show you, maybe that's the best example where an ex-player comes in. One more legendary than the other. Arteta not as legendary at Arsenal as Ole at Manchester United. But shows you that with a little bit of patience and in this world we're living in with financial challenges and COVID, maybe for now, he's the right man at the right time for this job.
He is. He is the right man because we don't have the money. With a big name, we would have to go and spend money and we just don't have the money. Look at the dressing room, what we've just got rid of. You know, we've had to pay players to leave. So, Sophie, I will keep saying this. This shows you that things at Arsenal Football Club have been so bad, have been rotten, that we're having to pay experienced players who normally you think you would get money for to leave. It's madness. So that we have to draw a line in the sand and that stops now.
Okay.
Now we're in about building that foundation.
Okay, so Rawinda Singh, thank you for joining us too, because this is my last question to Kevin on the transfer window before we just talk Wolves in a nutshell. They keep showing Mustafi on Sky. it's been a bit of a boring January transfer window, let's be honest, Kevin, like from other clubs. Which club do you think has had the best window? Have we?
Arsenal by a country mile. I swear to you. Look, I know Liverpool have made a couple of signings defensively because they're on the bare bones, aren't they? They're on the bare bones.
Yeah. What a dream for this kid from Preston. A little bit like brilliant. You know, Rob Holding coming to the Arsenal from Bolton.
From
Bolton, sorry. KC, dreams, right?
Oh, of course it is. And listen, I wish him well. Could you imagine the time when he got told Liverpool are interested? Yeah. And you could imagine he turned around and said, yeah, all right. Yeah, do one. Yeah, of course they are. And they're like, we're serious. You got to speak to your agent. You've got to go. He'll be like, what? Are you winding me up? But it's a fantastic move. Obviously, they've been watching him and rightly so. Keeping abreast of him, and listen, I wish him well. He's a 25-year-old, he's got experience behind him, and he knows how to play. So, hey, listen, all the best to him.
Jason Definitely. Thinks I'm going to have to eat that whole pie. As long as I have ice cream and whipped cream, I'm good to go.
No, you're having it dry. Dry. Not even water. You're having it dry. Do you know what I would? And I love this. You want to be proven wrong, Sophie,
don't you? Absolutely.
You want
100%.
Because that means that Arsenal is successful.
Correct.
You know?
Yes.
I love that.
Yes. Okay, everyone is correct. You know what time it is? It's Sophie time,
Sophie
Kevin.
Sophie time, yeah.
It's 101.
I love it.
All right. So I hope you guys, you know, there's nothing else to talk about, really. I don't know how any of this affects the Premier League race, Kevin, to be honest with you, between City, United, Liverpool. I think Leicester might dwindle out the same way. They look, without Ndidi and Vardy, they struggle,
yeah,
you know. Everton, your old boys, something's not working there now.
Listen, and again, Everton, I've been up there, but anytime it comes to a game where it's going to really push them, they don't do it.
No.
They don't get over the line.
They have Carlo Ancelotti as their manager, you guys. So this is where I also stop myself sometimes and look at myself in the mirror when I have criticised Arteta. Not so much now he's playing ESR and Martinelli's back and all of that stuff. But at the same time, look, at the beginning of the season, everyone was like, oh, it's the Merseyside, Liverpool, Everton running for the Premier League title. Carlo Ancelotti has won everything as a player and a manager. Mm-hmm. Everything will go down as one of the greats. But something's not working there right now, you know?
I think the squad that he inherited, it's going to take time to really revamp it because pretty simple. There's a lot of players on good money, good contracts, and obviously he's inherited them because they needed a manager who knows what to do. You're not just going to go and rip up the picture without having, because it's all timing, Sophie. Mm-hmm. There's players who he wants to get in and he knows I won't be able to sign these players until we're in a different position. So for him, he needs to get them European football. Then he can go out and get these players, plug them into the club, and then they're going to try and take the next step.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be,
This is big news coming in too. Where is it? MK, I think, just posted it. Matip out for season, just confirmed. That is a huge loss for Liverpool. And this is what I was saying. I hope the Maitland-Niles doesn't come back to bite us in the arse, Kevin. But I mentioned a few teams there, Everton and Leicester, and also Chelsea under Tuchel. Do you see them coming back? Do you see us finishing above or Chelsea and Everton?
God, Sophie, why are you doing that to me? Why are you doing that to me?
Because I want to play this back.
Yeah,
in
I know.
May.
I know. Listen, I'll tell you what I see. This is what I see. I see Arsenal challenging for the top six,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm not saying they're going to make it, but I truly believe the moves that are being made and have been made, it's a new day at Arsenal tomorrow. It's a fresh day. Arsenal will, they'll lose games and they'll win games. I think we'll be up there challenging. I do think we will. Whether we get it or not, I don't know. But we will be challenging because I see, remember, Odegaard's got to be incorporated into this team. He's only been there, what, a couple of days?
We haven't seen the best of Partey yet either.
Partey's just getting himself fit. You could see that's why some of his passing went awry on Saturday, etc., because he was feeling the pace. Mm-hmm. But once he's fit, we're going places. And then we're gonna rely on the likes of Smith Rowe, Saka, obviously, he's played most of the game, Sophie. He's going to be feeling it. He's only a kid. We've got to wrap these guys in cotton wool and we need a squad that's flexible.
Definitely. Okay, so get out on this one because, you know, that Villa game, Villa have two games in hand on us, Casey, and we play them in the next 10 days.
We need to beat them.
Well, that has to be a must-win game. That is the one. And then Johnny Boy says, Wolves, Villa, Leeds games, litmus test of what we can achieve in the league. Those three games, I mean, they're all important now. But talk about that tomorrow night, so important. Wolves have been struggling.
One game at a time. One game at a time.
Let's do Wolves. Let's do Wolves then tomorrow night.
One game at a time.
What are you thinking for Wolves? It doesn't look like Tierney's going to be playing. Mari may be coming back. Ceballos is ready to come back, I think.
We'll beat them 2-1. They done us 2-1 at Highbury. I'm sorry, I'm talking about Highbury there at the Emirates.
It's the Highbury squad.
Yeah, it's the Highbury squad. I'm looking at Highbury there. They done us 2-1 at the Emirates, and I think we'll beat them 2-1 at Molineux.
Okay. Yeah. You guys, let us know what you think as well in terms of the score for tomorrow. And, you know, it's a big game. They're all big at this point, but we definitely have to win this one against a poor Wolves team. And you'd say, KC, they're due something, but I think we have enough talent to pull this one off.
Well, do you know what, Sophie? When you look at, we're missing three of our top players and we play Manchester United, who had an opportunity to go top.
Should have won that game.
And we could have, should have won the game. And we didn't look out of place, did we? We didn't look like weak sauce or anything. We stepped it up second half as well and scared the life out of them, etc. So, again, slowly, Mikel Arteta is trying to build a squad. So, at least we can move and shake in the window. And we can move and shake when players are injured. So,
and how awesome would it be to see Pepe have three good games in a row? He's had one. He's had two. How awesome would that be, Kevin, for us to see him?
I think it's important. You know what, Sophie? I think it's so important to try and get Pepe playing now. You know, now that the dressing room is free of these guys, all of a sudden, wouldn't it be just funny if Pepe all of a sudden emerges? Mm-hmm. We would love it. I just want him to show some consistency. Because he's got all the attributes. He does. He's got all the attributes. And we need him to be at his best to propel us up the league as well.
KC, do you start Odegaard? Do you start him over ESR? Do you start this fella?
I don't think you do. I don't think you do tomorrow. I think he would play on Saturday.
Okay. Yeah. He can come off again, have another good 20, 25 minutes, right?
Give him more minutes to understand. He's had a bit more training because remember, with tomorrow's game, he wouldn't even have been at the club a week, I think.
And if Saka's ready to go, do you play Saka? Do you just say, against Wolves maybe, you know, I would maybe just let him be maybe for another game, Kevin?
Or you can put him on the bench. You could always put him on the bench and you say, right, you could get a run out for 20 minutes, you know, and if you need, because he's a good, great player to bring on because he's got such great ability. So, you know, having Odegaard, now all of a sudden you've got Odegaard and you've got Saka on the bench. Our bench is looking a bit sharp, isn't it?
It is. It's looking pretty decent. Let's see. Newman put up his chant. Everyone's telling me to do this. Move and shake, twist and shout. I love Arsenal. I'm not Arteta out. That's a good way to end the show, Newman. He always knows. Ainsley's his agent, I think. So, and thank you for joining us. Listen, there's been a real massive crowd in chat tonight. We really appreciate all of you taking time out of your day to spend with us. We can't begin to tell you how grateful we are for it. If you're new, subscribe. If you can hit that like button before you duck out of chat tonight, that would be epic too. And, you know, hopefully we move on, Kevin, and we get another 3 points tomorrow. That's all that we want. This is the most important thing, right?
Sophie, the key is after we've done all the business that we needed to do to a point in the transfer window, go and get a win in the next game. Tomorrow is massive for us. Get a win tomorrow, then we're looking up and we're looking, who can we pick off in that league?
Exactly. And you guys, don't forget to visit our really good friends at footballprizes.co.uk. You can join in and try and win yourself a 1971 double shirt, among other things. We're going to be giving away a free ticket tomorrow. They only give away 99, so you've got a great chance of winning. All you have to do is spend a couple bucks and you could find yourself with some of the most awesome memorabilia that Arsenal has to offer. Footballprizes.co.uk. This Friday is the auction for the 1971 double winning jersey, and we're going to be celebrating that team a lot on this show come May. All right. Thank you to everyone. Peace out. Thank you so much, Tion. Liked and subscribed, first timer. Thank you to everyone. Night, night. Subscribed, liked. This has been amazing. And what I love about this is so much is that we get to hear it from Kevin's perspective. He's been in the dressing room. He's worn the shirt. And we get that insight that no other podcast can give you from Monday through Friday live every single day of the week. Until tomorrow, Super Kev, tell everyone.
It's all about the Arsenal. It's all about the winning. Come on, you Arsenal! Come on!
Like the stripy hat.